And appreciate those young people. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, find verse 10. Praise God for our Savior. It's astounding to think about what Jesus was willing to endure for us. It's astounding to think that the creator of the universe was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What a Savior. Luke chapter 13. Tonight as we continue our study, we continue to move through the Gospels. We're in this area where Luke really has the only account of these events happening. And so we've been staying right here in Luke for several weeks now. And Jesus continuing to move around now and preach and teach. And we're going to see the Lord in the synagogue on a Sabbath day. So let's stand together if you're able. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And I'd like to pray before we read the scriptures. Then please remain standing and we'll read our text for tonight. Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I thank you for Jesus. How amazing it is to know that the creator of the universe was willing to come down and suffer as one of us, be tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin, to suffer for us, to be a man of sorrows, to be acquainted with grief, so that we would have a great high priest who's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was faithful, obedient, and who died to take our place. And Father, we thank you for your great love wherewith you've loved us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to wake up spiritually tonight to the truths of your scriptures. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us. Lord, I know that I am nothing without you. I know that I can do nothing without you. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work here tonight. Illuminate our understanding, convict our hearts. And for the ones here tonight who have never been born again, I pray tonight be the night they'd say yes to Jesus. What a foolish thing to know that we're lost, to know that Jesus is the only Savior. What a foolish thing to know those truths and not cry out to you for salvation. Please help the lost to be saved tonight. Help all of us to be changed by your word. We pray that you'll get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10 says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Please be seated. You know, some of you have been in church your whole life, and the miracles of Jesus have become somewhat old hat to you, but I just want you to imagine with me for a moment what it would be like. How many of you have ever had a problem with your back where it was hard to get up, get around, buddy? All right. I've had some friends that have been down in their back. When I was a young man, my mom hurt her back pretty badly, and they told her to lay flat of her back for 2 weeks. You was only to get out of bed when she absolutely had to for 2 weeks. And I thought my mom was going to go insane and take the rest of us with her. My friend, and most of you know Brother Matt Raines, he hurt his back one day at the gym, and he told about how he literally could not stand up. He couldn't straighten up. He had to crawl to his truck. He had to crawl into a seat. He had to crawl from the truck into the house. He could not straighten himself. He couldn't get up. Those are awful situations to be in, but But most of those are temporary. A couple of weeks, a couple of weeks of good rest, and you're back on your feet going again. This woman was unable to straighten herself up for 18 years. She was hunched over. And I don't know if you've ever known anybody like that. There was a man from the town I grew up in that was like that. He was hunched over as long as I ever knew him. He couldn't lift up his eyes. He couldn't see ahead of him. He always was looking. He just physically couldn't do it. He was always looking down at the ground. And I've known some people like that. And I just think how difficult that would be and how much we ought to be grateful that you can just stand up straight. For 18 years. Some of you have not been alive for 18 years. Some of you have been alive a lot longer than 18 years. But to have that kind of infirmity, that ailment for 18 years would have been an awful thing. And I imagine that there was very little hope in her that that would ever get better. That was something that she had just accepted, that I'm going to be this way until I die. That's just the way I'm going to be. That's just God's lot for me. But I want you to notice that this woman was at the synagogue, which was the place of worship. This means that they were not necessarily in Jerusalem, but the area of Perea and that area around. There were synagogues in most of the villages and towns of any size, and Jesus was in one of those synagogues. And Jesus had the habit of going to synagogue on the Sabbath day. Good example to be in the place of worship when it's time to worship. And Jesus was there and he was teaching in one of the synagogues, which means that there was a time and opportunity that they would give an opportunity for someone to stand up and read from the scrolls, read from the Word of God, and then expound on those things. And Jesus was doing that this day. And so I want you to notice that while he was there on the synagogue, that Jesus would end up getting himself in a little trouble with the Jews, as his custom was. Because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And we're going to see the heart of these people. I want you to notice, and as you consider the condition of this woman, she had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years was bowed together, she was hunched together, and she couldn't lift herself up. There was nothing she could do to straighten herself up. Now, there was a spirit of infirmity. This gives us an idea, an indication that this was an affliction of Satan, that there was some kind of demonic involvement here. Now, sometimes the Bible's very clear that a demonic spirit has caused someone to be unable to do something. It's caused a physical ailment. We think about the man who was mute, he couldn't talk, and when Jesus cast out the demon, immediately his tongue was loosed and he was able to speak. There were times that demons had that kind of an effect, but I want you to notice that it clearly says a spirit of infirmity was on her. So there was some kind of spiritual hindrance on her, some kind of demonic influence in her life that caused her to be bowed together in that way. And can I just say to you that spiritual realm always impacts the physical? Listen, you think that you can go do what you want to do, you can watch what you want to watch, listen to what you want to listen to, ignore the truths of the Word of God, you can hear these things and let them go in one ear and out another, and you think that you can have a lot of negative spiritual influences in your life and it's not going to affect you, but you couldn't be more wrong. The spiritual realm has an impact on every part of your being. And listen, when you allow the influences of Satan into your life, whether it be through some kind of social media or movies or music or your friends or whatever it is, I'm telling you, it's going to have an impact on every part of your life. It's going to affect your spirit, it's going to affect your mind, and it's going to affect your body. And this woman had some impact. Now, I'm not trying to say today that there was some great sin she had done that caused this. I'm just saying that the spirit has an influence and an impact on our physical condition. So there was a spiritual problem, there was a physical problem, but I want you to be reminded once again of the compassion of our Savior. Look at verse 12, and when Jesus saw her. Man, I love just reading my Bible in the New Testament when you read, and Jesus passed through, Jesus was there, Jesus saw. Every time Jesus shows up, friends, great things happen. And what a wonderful thing tonight to know that Jesus still sees. He looks to and fro in the earth. He beholds the evil and he beholds the good. And there's nothing that happens in your life that Jesus doesn't see. And tonight there are some of you that gives great peace and comfort to. Whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I think, whatever I'm going through, Jesus sees. And it gives you great comfort in your heart. There may be somebody here tonight, though, that doesn't give comfort to at all. It actually gives you terror. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you think, wherever you go, Jesus sees. And you're not comforted by that. It's more like when you're doing something you shouldn't and your parents catch you. Friends, I want you to know that he sees. But praise God, when he sees, he always has compassion. He saw her. And when he saw her, he called her to him. He saw her and he called her. And I'm just going to tell you, from all of my study and understanding in the synagogues in those days, there would have been a definite separation between the men and the women. By the way, the way we have congregations today, that's actually relatively new. It wasn't that many years ago that churches were segregated by men and women. As a matter of fact, I've heard people that I know, when they grew up, that's the way it was. They had a deacon that stood at a door. One of them even had a stick. Women went this way, men went that way. You know, when you come into church, you're not going to be around each other. And they separated the men from the women. And it was like that in the synagogues of the Jews. The women, so most likely this woman would have been in the back. The men would have been at the front. And most likely when Jesus was teaching, he saw her and had compassion. And he says, "Woman, come here." And I just don't know. Can you imagine? Just some of you right now getting an anxiety just thinking about that. Like, what if right now in the middle of the sermon, one of you ladies, I just called your name and said, "Come up here. You want to try it?" A couple of you are like, "No." Yeah, you wouldn't come up here. You'd go out the back door. Right? Some of you are turning red just thinking about it. Can you imagine what that was like for her? I mean, she already had to have been self-conscious. She already would have been a struggle. I can imagine somebody, the people I've known that have had an ailment like that are hunched over. It's hard for them to get around. Can you imagine her shuffling her way to the front in front of all those people? Wondering what the rabbi would say, wondering what this teacher would say. But she had no idea. But she comes to the front. Jesus sees her and he calls her to himself. And friends, what a wonderful Savior. Because he sees you in your brokenness. And he sees you in your sinful condition. He sees you with your sinful disease. He sees you with all of your problems and all of your ugliness and all of your mess that you are. He sees you and he calls you to himself. Thank God the woman came to him. Praise God she didn't run away. But when the Savior called, she came to him. And when he gets her to him, he says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity," and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Woman, I don't know how he identified her. Maybe he called her by name. Maybe he pointed. But from her hunched position, she's able to just look up and see, and she shuffles her way to her front, and when she comes to Jesus, he says, "You're healed from your infirmity." He lays his hands on her. And immediately, guys, listen, for the first time in 18 years, she stands up straight. You have any idea how glorious that had to have been? I mean, whatever pain was in her back, whatever restriction there was, no matter how much she tried to straighten herself up, she couldn't do it. But when the touch of Jesus came on her, when his words and his touch came into her life, she immediately stood up straight. What a Savior. Great physician indeed. He's able to heal anything. No matter how long we've been in our sinful condition, He can straighten us up. No matter how bad it is, no matter how helpless we are, He is able to heal. He is able to make whole. He is able to straighten us up. And He straightened her up. And what did she do? She was made straight. By the way, had nothing to do with her. She didn't cry out to Jesus like blind Bartimaeus. She didn't have to have any faith. She didn't even have any friends who had great faith that brought her to Jesus. It was all Him. And she was made straight. It was all done by Jesus, but she glorified God. Can I just encourage you again tonight that when you consider what Christ has done for you, you glorify God? Man, you praise Him with your lips. You sing His praises. You tell others of His greatness and glorify God. She glorified God in front of all of those people. Man, I can imagine this woman shuffled her way in and stood at the back and hunched over in the back year after year after year, week after week after week, month after month after month. The people that were from that area had seen this woman come in and go out. They knew who she was. They had seen it for 18 years. They knew her. And how excited would you have been if you'd have been there? She glorified God, wouldn't you too? I mean, wouldn't you have been amazed and been, praise God. Glory to God. Look what's happened. He's healed her. I'm going to tell you right now, I would have been wanting to do, I can't do cartwheels, but I would have wanted to do cartwheels. I mean, friends, that's shouting ground. Those people who are there, you would think that they would rejoice. The ruler of the synagogue, he's seen this woman. The ruler of the synagogue was probably not a priest, or he may or may not have been a rabbi, but he was the one who took care of the place. He would have been the one to make sure that the word of God was looked after and the building was taken care of and all the things were in order. He would have kind of been a curator to take care of all of the details of that synagogue, make sure everything was clean and everything was ready and all those things were done. And he was the leader of that particular synagogue. And you would think that when he saw the miracle happen, that he would have said, praise God. Glory to God. This man has worked a great miracle among us today. This, our sister, has been made whole. She's been made straight. And there would have been rejoicing and worshiping. And song would have broke out in that place because of what God had done. But no. The ruler of the synagogue in verse 14 answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And the ruler of the synagogue said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Man, can you imagine? Number one, if Jesus is preaching that day, I don't want to be preaching any sermons. Right? You don't want to be the guy to follow Jesus. Like, he's preaching, let's all just shut up today. But he preaches, then he heals, and then the man stands up and he doesn't say anything to Jesus, doesn't say anything to the woman, but he looks at the rest of the people and says, listen, it's the Sabbath day. You come any other day to get healed, but not on the Sabbath day. How much do you have to hate somebody to not rejoice when they're made whole by Jesus? I'm getting a little tired of how skeptical Christians are today. Like, we don't really think anybody ever gets saved. Listen, I just want to tell you today that when somebody makes a profession of faith, we ought to rejoice. And it ought not be, listen, I know time will tell. We've talked about it a lot. I've seen countless people make professions of faith and then bear no fruit. I know, I understand, I know your worry and your skepticism, but listen, when somebody says, I've turned away from my sin and I've trusted in Jesus, we ought to rejoice. There ought to be joy in our hearts that somebody who was on their way to hell is now on their way to heaven. Someone has said that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't care what kind of mess their life was before, and I don't care what kind of trouble they may still have day by day, and as a new Christian, they're still wrestling with some things. We ought to rejoice that they have said their faith is in Jesus. And can I say this? It ought not be like pulling teeth to get somebody to rejoice. We ought to be happy. It's so incredulous to us. Like, we just can't believe it. I thought I'd make it through today without bringing up Kanye West, but I guess not. Like, it's the biggest news in the world. And I don't know. I haven't listened to the new songs. I didn't listen to the old songs. But I'm going to tell you this, if his faith is in Christ, I rejoice. I rejoice. You can be skeptical if you want to. That's okay. What's it going to prove? His fruit later in his life, what's it going to prove? Either he was really born again or he wasn't. The power of the gospel is not diminished by false converts. The power of the gospel is the same. And we ought to rejoice. God saves through faith in Christ. See, I think that we fall into the trap too much. We say that it's by grace through faith, but then we are so worried about proving it by our works that we make it about works, and it's never going to be about works. It's always going to be His grace. By His grace, your works will come. By His grace, by His Spirit, fruit will come. But that's not why we're saved or how we stay saved. I'm just trying to say it's all Jesus. He called her. He saw her. He called her. He put His hands on her. He made her straight. She glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, well, he was just wicked. I don't know how else to say it. He was corrupt. It's corrupt. Then we see the Lord's correction. Verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, now, listen, you and I, how many of you hate conflict? Can I see your hands? Because I hate conflict. Like, some of you thrive on it. It's like your favorite thing in the world. I hate conflict. I don't like getting in arguments with people. I don't like disagreeing with people. I just want us all to get along. But when people start spouting nonsense, somebody's got to have enough gumption to say the truth. No, we got to speak the truth in love. We got to do it in the right way with the right spirit. We can't be arrogant or prideful or any of those things, but we need to stand and declare the authority of the Word of God. And when the ruler of the synagogue gets up and spouts this nonsense, Jesus isn't going to just let that go. I mean, it's not like He's going to say, oh, okay, well, you guys come back tomorrow. It's Sunday, so we'll do it tomorrow. No. So what's the Lord say? Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Listen, you're not supposed to do any several work on the Sabbath day, but not one of you. Not one of you leads your animals, your livestock, in the stall. You get them out, you lead them to water, you take them back. You do it every Sabbath day. And you have elevated your livestock above a human being. Hello? Have you been in America the last 40 years? What have we done? We worship the creature more than the Creator. We've elevated animals above people. There are more laws today defending the lives of owls and whales than there are the lives of children. It's no different. It's no different than the way these people were, these Jews were. You ought to take care of your animal. You can't let your animal go without water. But let this woman suffer another day. Let her suffer some more. She suffered 18 years. She can suffer one more day. What is wrong with people? Man, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. Jesus asks in Luke 6, in verse 9, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Listen, it's good to do good on the Sabbath day. It's good to do what's right. It's good to love people. It's good to elevate human beings above animals. I wish the world could hear that. My children are more important than your dog. The lives of human beings are more important than all the whales in the world. And the owls and the wolves and the field mice and whatever other thing they want to protect. And don't get me wrong, I don't think we ought to just kill everything on the planet. But we don't elevate those things, those animals, above people. In Luke 14, we'll see in the weeks to come, Jesus asked the question, verse 3. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Listen, if you were on the Sabbath day and your animal fell in the ditch, you would do all kinds of work to save that animal. And should I not save a person? So the Lord corrects them. And I want you to look at our text, Luke 13, 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. All his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All the glorious things. His teaching was glorious. The healing was glorious. Correcting the false teaching was glorious. Everything Jesus did that day was glorious. And everything he does is glorious. They were ashamed. I want to ask you tonight, would you consider yourself to be in the camp with the adversaries, or would you consider yourself to be on the Lord's side? Because when we were growing up going to youth rallies, we used to sing the song, whose side are you leaning on? You guys remember that one? Leaning on the Lord's side. And then we would ski, whose side are you skiing on? You guys remember that? We do it at camp. These kids know. Whose side are you jumping on? You see, we grow up in church and we like to think ourselves that we're on the Lord's side. We always want to be the hero in the story. We always think we're the good guy. We always think that we're the ones who are right. Like when we tend to identify ourselves with somebody in the story. Well, guess what? In this account, you don't get to be Jesus. He's the only one that can be Jesus. And maybe you think, well, I'm the woman. I'm the one who Jesus saw. I'm the one that Jesus called. I'm the one that Jesus healed. And I hope to God that you are that one. And if you've never been saved, that you will be saved. But I want to tell you, I think there's great danger that we're not the one who's been healed, but we're the adversaries. We're the Jews. We're the ones who are against Jesus. We're the ones who are skeptical. We're the ones who answer with indignation against those who have been touched by the Lord. We're the ones with the wrong attitudes. We're the ones who are Pharisaical. We're the ones lifting up man-made traditions above the truth of the Word of God. And friends, we've got to be careful. Because if it's not in the love of Christ, and the love of His Word, and the truth of His Word, and if it's not of faith, it's sin. I want to be the one that's been healed. And after I've been healed, I want to be the one who rejoices at the glorious things that Christ has done. God forbid that we would ever be the ones who are adversaries to Christ, adversaries to the work of God, those who would answer with indignation against the things that God is doing. And friends, I think we're in grave danger of being that one. So what do we got to do? Well, we got to be willing to let go of traditions. We don't hold up traditions above the Word of God. And we've got to be able to look past all of the cliches and all of the anecdotal things and all of the surface things and fluffy things and all the veneers that we try to put up. We got to get past all that and get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple, friends. He died and he rose again, and people who put their faith in him have everlasting life, and we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice. We ought to see tonight that the word of Jesus is glorious. We ought to see tonight that the works of Jesus are glorious. We've got to open our eyes to his truth. This evening, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation, and I ask you to stand with me. I just want to share my heart with you real quick before we sing. I've been trying to share my heart the whole time I'm preaching. Those people who heard Jesus that day and saw what Jesus did that day, they glorified God. They rejoiced in the glorious things that Jesus did. You know, tonight, it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with the preaching or the message or whatever, the sermon. It's not about that even a little bit. But do you see that when we get together to sing praises to God, it's a glorious opportunity? Do you see that just opening the Bible and reading the words of Jesus is a glorious thing? It's a glorious thing to hear from Christ. 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years after he spoke those words. We hear them today. We read them today. They touch us today. He saw her and he called her to him. He sees you and he calls you to him. Listen, please, please stop going through the motions. Stop just letting it be the same old, same old. Wake up. See the word of God. See how glorious our Savior is. And let his Spirit move in your heart. I promise you, there's distance between where you are tonight and where Jesus wants you to be. And only through repentance, only through faith and obedience, can we shorten that distance. Can we get closer to where he wants us to be? If there's unconfessed sin in your heart, in your life, something you need to repent of, maybe you just want to give him thanks. I'm just saying, if the Holy Spirit of God has moved in your heart tonight, don't go away unchanged, but respond to the Spirit of God tonight while we sing this song.